Come on, Chris. You made a fucking $600-$700 budget film, but you can't fucking press record? Come on.
I lost touch.
Yeah, dude. Well, he lost footage on that one, too.
I did. Yeah, I did. So I fucked up. Yeah, you fucked up.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Us Podcast.
Uh-oh.
With Chris and me.
Uh-huh.
My name is Angel. Uh-oh. What's up, everybody? This is a podcast about us. You remember, right?
It's all of us.
It's all of us, bro. Yay! We are back for another episode, and I think this is going to be episode 10, if Chris
10,
is correct.
Yeah. If my calculations are correct, this is episode 10.
If my calculations are correct, 10 motherfucking episodes.
Wow.
And if you're still listening to this shit, thank you, because me and Chris are still listening to this. So, today, we come at you with another guest episode.
Yes!
And by the title, you already know who it is. It's your boy, the one and only, _ _ desmadre.
_
What's up, bro?
You don't know what the fuck going on.
Dang, the classic line.
Shout out Lagunitas IPA.
Hell yeah, shout out Lagunitas IPA. So what's up? What's up, desmadre?
How you doing?
I'm all right.
How was your day? Tell us about your day real quick.
It was good. I just woke up like at like noon and
wow.
Went to go buy like some screens. Hung out in downtown with my friend, took inventory of his stuff, of his clothing brand.
Wait, you were buying screens for what? I mean, I know why. Screen printing.
Silk screen.
Silk screens?
160
for
mesh.
Silk screens for screen printing. That's dope, dude.
So, how much does that cost?
So if I wanted to like,
I spent $30.
No, but it's cool. I mean, you do it. Though, what do you do it for? Is what I guess we're trying to get at.
Yeah, I wanted to organically fucking transition into what you do. But now I'm just gonna have to tell you.
Yeah.
Hey, desmadre.
What do you do?
Tell everyone what you do.
I do a lot of things, but
I mean, what
one is
I do?
My clothing brand.
Fuck yeah.
And then I also screen print for a lot of close friends, a lot of homies.
One of them that the Us Podcast listeners already met, Yungatita.
Meet and fall in love with, yes, Yungatita.
Yeah. Hell yeah, go buy those shirts.
So you personally screen print those shirts? Because I have one.
Yeah, yes. I made them all in acid in one night. We had just came back from the Bane's World, Interwave, Michael Sayer show.
Oh, shit.
And the Dog Days tour.
Yeah, the Dog Days tour.
It was an amazing show. Such a fucking great time.
I was supposed to go and didn't.
You didn't? You just ended up hanging out with
them?
Carlos invited me, but I was working.
Uh-huh.
I was like, fuck.
Yeah. You were there in spirit.
I was there. I was there through the Instagram stories. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you took acid and then you just did them all in one night?
Yeah, I took it at the show before going in. Michael was playing and I bought merch before like everything started getting wavy, like, and then Interwave went on, and then it started hitting me right then and there, and that shit smacked. I was like,
damn,
I was in full rainbow mode. You know when you get the start,
yeah,
like fucking Super Mario.
Yeah.
It's weird. I just started like I just started partaking in weed more regularly, and so like what you're saying is how I'm like that must be, but I bet it's like way worse and way more intense acid than like a regular high.
That night for me it was, for whatever reason. I think I took a good drop, but yeah, it definitely smacked during Interwave set. It was so awesome because the beginning the first song that they were playing was really, it was like a really long intro.
Okay.
I forgot what song it was.
Is every trip different? Like are no two trips the same, like a snowflake?
Of course, every time it's different. It's not the same. It's definitely different from your last one. You can't expect the same outcome or the same. You can definitely expect certain things that are going to be the same, but it's always different.
Can you remember your first acid trip?
Yeah, I was at Beach Goth, Beach Goth 4, I believe. Acid is a concert drug for me, for sure. I take mushrooms and acid.
So for those keeping score at home, not only does he screen print clothes, he also goes to lots of shows and indulges in...
And a lot of
drug activity.
Psychedelic drugs.
Psychedelic
drug activity. No needles? You don't...
You're not
that cool?
I just like...
I was waiting for someone to catch
that. Cool,
it's a trying... That's another level of cool I'm not about. But my whole definitely, it's like, it's a triangle perfect of acid, mushrooms, and weed.
Is there like a pinnacle you're trying to reach? You're like, I'm trying to get to this fucking ultimate high, and then I'm gonna retire for good. Or you're just like, I'm just gonna
chill. What's the ultimate high?
I don't. To me, love. That's, one night. that love. Love with the right person. Yeah. And,
monogamy.
All these drugs are just to, like, fill a hole that love.
We're getting to the better bottom of it.
Love, a fourth of Xanax, some lean, and some shrooms for sure.
Damn.
I did that one night, and it was a great
That's experience. Called a good night.
Damn.
Yeah, I took like the mushrooms, and then I like took the Xanax, and I drank the lean. And throughout the night, like, basically, I started tripping, and, like, I was sipping while I was tripping. So once my trip ended, I just fell asleep.
That doesn't make you sick? You don't feel like, fuck, I'm just destroying myself?
Your stomach hurts a lot. Like, when I've drank lean, it's fucking made my stomach hurt. Also, with acid.
Man, Lil Wayne over here.
it's Southeast LA Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Dude, how does like drugs or I want to say psychedelics, I like that more than just like, how does doing hard drugs affect your scream?
Dude, how does wasting your life away?
Nah, dude, I do stuff.
No. Because you talked about how you did the screen printing while on acid. So do you find the psychedelics help you with your work?
They just help me in general with my life. Even if I didn't screen print or not, it would just make me happy and make me realize that. Appreciate everything while you're here, you know? What else? Be happy for what you have. Be happy for who you are. You know, like, life could always be so much worse.
But. And who are you? Who are you?
What do you mean?
Like, am I? Like, how do you see no yourself one. As a person? Whoa.
No one.
This isn't even an interview episode.
I'm a speck of dust, man.
That's true. We all are.
Nah, man. Well, after Infinity War, we definitely all are.
Did you watch that movie?
What movie?
Infinity War? Avengers?
Nah. It's not on VHS. He's not going to watch
it. It's 2-4K for me, dude.
2-4K. Yeah. We made that joke because Carlos is... I'm going to call you Carlos. Too bad. Sorry. Carlos is super into, like, analog,
shit.
Analog shit. Yeah, analog technology. You'll catch him at a show with a fucking camcorder.
He does not these, a video camera.
He does these dope-ass...
Well, yeah, it is. I'm psych.
He does these dope-ass, visuals... I mostly saw him do visuals for the Homie Love cast. How's that shit going, bro?
It's chill. Well, I've been working on visuals for my lookbook, and then I actually just finished that last week, and I'm pretty proud of how it came out. It's my first visual work.
Is that going on YouTube?
It's on YouTube. It's on private right now because I'm gonna
it's already uploaded.
Yeah, I'm gonna release it eventually, but
When can we expect to see this lookbook?
Soon. I always say I'm going to release something, and I, like, lag it up the ass. Same. I never.
Why?
You're
perfecting it, or are you just, you're like, you don't feel it anymore?
Nah, I've been like that my whole life. Like, you know, getting to school late, like, I'm just a lagger. I don't know.
Dude, me too.
And you and Angel went to school together.
Bell High School, 2012.
Not out of choice, but we did.
If we had the choice, we would not have. Dude, well, actually... It's so funny. I forget that people don't know, like, our history and stuff. Me and Carlos have been friends since fucking middle school. Well, wow. I don't know. We were kind of friends in middle school. We were more acquaintances.
You're my friend. School. I just, like, didn't talk to you like that, but you're my friend.
Yeah. Who would see him around? Carlos had this big-ass fro. And something that I remember perfectly about you is this fucking purple striped sweater that you would always wear.
That stupid-ass sweater got me caught for graffiti because I always wore it. I always wore it, so... Once they saw the cameras, they just waited for me.
They're like, we know who you are. You fucking purple sweater.
I should have just worn a black sweater instead.
Yeah, you're stupid. And what would you tag under? What was your name?
I used to write sober when I was in seventh grade. That seventh grade second semester, that's when I started doing like graffiti and art. I did music before that. I was playing piano.
Yeah, Woodcraft Rangers.
Yeah, and I was playing guitar. Man, that's where we hung out a lot for sure. Woodcraft Rangers.
Woodcraft.
Shouts out Sal and Moises.
Dude, I remember they taught me too, and then I just stopped because I was a stupid sixth grader, and I was like, guitar's hard.
It is. It is. It hurts.
It hurts.
And now look at years later, and now you're not sober no more. And now you're sitting.
Oh, was that his old pseudonym?
Yeah, it was Sober.
Oh, Sober.
Because he was like, straight edge, mean.
Oh, you were that passionate? You were just like...
No, I never claimed straight edge. People called me straight edge. Oh. They put me in that
box. He never claimed the...
I didn't know what straight edge was until someone explained to me, oh, so you're straight edge. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. I just don't do drugs.
You're like, don't label me, bro.
I was just a kid, dude. I didn't care for labels like that. You know, I wasn't like, yeah, straight edge, hardcore, vegan.
I remember you were either a vegetarian or a vegan for a long time.
I was vegan for like a year and a half, like when I was like 22.
How'd that go?
It's great. Best decision I ever made in my life.
Then why'd you stop?
Because I moved up north and I lived with people who weren't about that life, so I had to eat what they gave me.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I moved up north. And moved up north? Yeah, I trimmed weed up there.
Oh, dude, for, so like, many people I know did that.
I have a question. So what was like your friendship dynamic like in high school? Because as I see you guys as adults now, I mean, obviously you guys are more chilled out, more, you know, self-contained. But like as kids, were you like the troublemaker pals? Would you guys just hang out during lunch? Like what was the dynamic there?
I wasn't a troublemaker. I just talked a lot of shit.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I wasn't a troublemaker. I just talked a lot of shit. So that initially got me in trouble. Yeah. But I wasn't a troublemaker. I was just trapping the whole time.
He was trapping a lot of different things, from tortas to real trapping.
To real trap shit.
Yeah, and so...
Mouse traps?
Exactly. Mickey Mouse.
And it's so weird. Like, you think back, it's like, dude, we were in high school, and you were doing all this, like, fucking wild shit.
Well, yeah, I don't have a fucking dad, so I can do whatever I want.
That's true. Whoa. Yeah, that's true. Dude, let's unpack that for a little
bit. Yeah, I know. That just, like, that was just...
Yeah, I hate my dad, so... Dude, because... I grew up without a dad too, but I didn't start trapping. What, did you feel the need?
I don't have a dad either.
Bullshit, you sold sodas.
I did.
Fucking liar.
I fucking did sell sodas. Dad, Carl's calling me out.
Fucking liar.
You sold sodas?
Yeah, he sold sodas.
He was trapping.
I put him in an Xbox bag.
I didn't sell sodas, so, you know, he took that.
I took over the market that that Carlos left open.
What's the supply and demand?
Yeah, it was supplying them. I saw an opening.
You saw an open market.
Yeah, I was like, Carlos's Capri Suns are not fucking...
They're not cutting it out
for the audience. So I'm going to take over. And Carlos was okay. Carlos let me invade on his territory.
Was there ever like any talks of like collaboration? Like, you and me, we should work together. Yeah. We should join forces.
We should have an alliance.
He wanted to do his own thing. I wanted to do mine.
Yeah.
He wasn't down for the payroll I was trying to give. He was like,
I'm going to give you 10% of your sodas.
Yeah, I'd be like, fuck you. Dude, Carlos, Carlos like strong-armed a bunch of people out of business in Bell. So for anyone that doesn't know, in Bell High School, there was a lot of people selling tortas all the time. And Carlos was like, we would call him the godfather of tortas.
Oh, shit.
Because he was like one of the first, and eventually, and he was the last. He was the alpha and the omega of Bell tortas.
I used to sell tortas too. I brought this up before, but in Maywood, yeah. They called me the Heisenberg of tortas over there.
Damn. Well,
yeah. Because there was a bunch of other people, but like, why I jumped onto the torta business was because one of the tortas that I bought for one of my girlfriends was moldy. And I said, Joe, take your fucking moldy ass tortas back. And he's like, isn't that moldy? That's just the cheese. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to come back tomorrow and I'm gonna outsell you with tortas. Like, I'm tired of your shit, of your moldy ass tortas. And he was being supplied by somebody else in Bell. So probably somebody that you... eventually took down.
Carlos was really good.
Yeah, that you got rid of. So I started selling tortas too, and I got caught eventually.
It was very lucrative.
The jig was. I made a lot of money doing that. It was very profitable.
What was your quota every day? Like, how much did you sell?
Oh man, I don't remember the number, but I think I would make like at least 20. It was a small school, but I think I used to make like 20 to 25 every morning. And then, like, my secret was, and I told you guys this, but my secret was that, like, I would make it, I would, because, you know, like, people would put bacon, but, like, it was, like, cheapy bacon, but, like, my mom got me, like, the Farmer John shit, so I would cook, like, legit, real bacon, so people would be like, this fucking bacon's amazing. I used to sell it with the Food for Less cookies that are fucking bomb, and with the Capri Suns, yeah, and so, like, you would either get just,
A snack pack.
Yeah, so, like, I was selling three things. I was selling the tortas, I was selling the Capri Suns, and I was selling the cookies. Because sometimes people just wanted like cookies. Things like just the, like, oh, I just want a cookie. Like, all right, here you go. I just want Capri Sun. I just want a torta. I want I want the combo.
I want the whole combo.
Yeah, give the whole combo.
Yeah. So sometimes, and then sometimes I used to take special orders. Like, can you make one with no bacon? I'm vegan. I'm like, all right.
Oh my god, that's horrible.
And I used to just like,
but the ham's okay. Wait,
yeah, but the ham's fine.
Hold on. That word existed back then. I don't think so.
Well, because
I'm not as old as you guys. Yeah.
Chris is a little younger than.
Yeah, I'm a kid.
I'm sure there was still vegans.
I'm just a kid.
Chris is like 2 or 3 years younger.
Yeah, I'm 2 years.
That explains a lot.
That's when vegans came about. Yeah. And I guess.
Whoa! What do you mean that explains a lot?
What I said.
What? No. We'll unpack that. What is a lot to you?
When you're older, you're not as, how do you say,
arrogant?
You're not as happy to be alive.
Holy shit! Damn.
Wow. Arrogance is another thing, yeah.
Hey, I can't argue with that. The older you get, I was just thinking about this on my car ride over here. I was like, you know, the older you, because today Mac Miller died.
Yeah,
and he didn't mean a lot to me, but
rest in peace,
me
man.
Neither. But I fucking bummed me out.
Hey. Yeah. He meant a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's what I'm not saying.
From what I've heard on the internet, just everybody that's posting about him being sad that he passed away.
Yeah, they're like super.
No, everyone, but that's my point. It's like just the fact that somebody's so fucking young and like I knew he was influential. I never like shat on his music, but like that it bummed me out, dude. Yeah. He was so fucking young.
But I was thinking like the older we get. That's what happens. Like, all our fucking heroes start dying.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you not get just so depressed from that? Just like, the older you get, more of my heroes are dying.
Or fucking becoming sexual predators.
Yeah, exactly. Man, and then one day you look around and you don't have any more heroes. And then you're like, well, fuck.
You gotta be your own hero.
Damn. Exactly. Carlos, are you your own hero?
I try to be.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the fucking
answer. There's a ray of sunshine.
See, you're not so sad.
As he chugs the rest of his IPA.
As he sips the IPA.
So I wanted to ask you guys, because I asked you about your whole dynamic. What would you guys say is like fundamentally different from how you were when you were young and more mature? And did I say more
young and yeah? You said more, but you mean young and less mature.
More
actually. I'm just kidding.
Actually,
what is maturity? Define maturity.
Let's go to Merriam-Webster's.
Would you consider yourself more mature than you were in high school?
I'm the same dumbass. I just aren't surrounded by as many people, so, you know.
You're not surrounded by as many dumbass.
So you don't think
you've changed? When there's no audience, you know, there's no stage. So I'm just chilling. When I was in high school, dude, I used to fuck around all the time just because it was fun. I used to love making people laugh just for no reason.
Yeah, class clown.
Yeah, I was that kid for sure. I was a class clown, but I wasn't a troublemaker.
You just talk a lot of shit.
Yeah, I would all the time.
Would you hurt anybody? Did you make anybody cry?
To raver kids, I would shuffle.
Oh, dude, yeah, we would have kids shuffling so during cringe. Lunch.
Oh, boy.
It was fucking.
Oh my god.
Dude, you posted an Instagram story.
Kids threw milk at those kids. I wish I would have thrown milk at those kids.
You're like, my biggest regret in high school is not throwing milk at those ravers.
Now those kids are trying to sell you on pyramid schemes today.
Dude, I know.
All those kids are taking your orders at Jack in the Box.
Dude, Carlos is getting into like the real nitty gritty of life in fucking Southeast LA.
That's true.
If you were a raver, you fucking work at Jack in the Box now. And that's true.
You're shuffling my patties.
Shuffling my fucking jumbo jug.
Still fucking paying $600 for EDC.
Dude,
damn.
EDC.
What a waste of money.
I've heard they're really lit. I'm not gonna lie. Like,
no, I hear they're lit. I would not pay that though to get that lit.
I don't know, man. I've never been in one, so if you want to pay a ticket for me, anybody, take me out there. You know,
yeah, let's go. Maybe if you sell enough shirts, we can go to EDC together.
Like I said, you pay for the ticket. All expenses paid. That's and I'll true. Just give you like massages while you're rolling.
You said you would talk shit to teachers?
Yeah, all the time.
Who? And what would you say?
Miss McGowan, I think, or what was her name?
Rose McGowan?
No, Miss McGuire. Her name was Miss McGuire because I was like, just like Lizzie McGuire. Oh
like Toby
God.
McGuire.
But Miss McGuire. That was high school.
That was
senior
McGuire.
Year, I believe. I had her for sixth period. She was like English. But like,
oh, dude, I know who you're fucking talking. You had the class across from me.
Yeah, I did.
And every time you would come out of that classroom, you would be like, "Fuck Miss McGuire." You're like, "Fuck you, this class fucking sucks." I remember you would be so pissed all the time. And I was like, "It can't be that bad."
I saw her like years after and I told her, hey, sorry for being a little shit.
You were a little shit to me? That was you?
I would always give her trouble for sure. I didn't give a fucking
Was it because it made people laugh or you just felt like doing it?
Both. I was just like bored, and she was just like, she'd be an asshole for the dumbest reasons. Like, she would like, I would have my hat on backwards, and then she'd be like, Carlos, you can't have your hat on like that. That's gang affiliated. Either take your hat off now or put it forward.
You were allowed to wear hats?
Oh, not backwards. That's gang affiliated, obviously.
But hats, period? We weren't allowed to wear shit. We can't even have hoodies on.
How would you respond to that?
She took it away because I didn't want to take it off. So I was like, what? How is this gang affiliated?
Yeah. Do it now or I'm going to take it away. I'm going to confiscate it and turn it into the Deans.
And I was like, you're tripping, miss.
All right, give me your hat. Did you seem like the kind of person that would make things way bigger than they needed to be? Like, it's like, just take your hat off. Why do I need to take my hat off? And then it's like, just do it. I don't get it, miss.
I don't get it, miss.
That made no sense to me, though. I'm like, how is this gang affiliate? She didn't want to answer my question. She's like, it's like a cop. You're under arrest. For what? You're under arrest. Give me your hand. Put your hands around your back. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Hold my hand.
Hold my hand, man.
It's like a cop telling you, hold my hand, please. Dude, me and you got pulled over together once. I remember.
Really?
Yeah.
What was that like?
We were driving a couple friends home because they were.
I do remember that. I think. Night.
And then Carlos drove a friend's car.
I didn't know how to turn the headlights on, and that's why we got stopped.
Yeah.
Oh, because you were driving in the dark.
Yeah, and I didn't. I didn't know how to use the car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And basically, I think I was like 18 or 19 at the time too. We were young.
So. And it wasn't our car.
You know, we were very unaware of what was going on. But yeah, I was driving. They pull us over and they're like, you know what? I stopped you, right? I was like, no, your headlights aren't on. I was like,
and they're like, license or registration.
Yeah, they asked for it. I just gave them my license.
I was like, this isn't my car, but here's my. And like, in retrospect, they should have like taken us away.
They didn't? Oh, they let you guys go?
No, he was just like,
a little slap on the wrist.
We told him what was up.
Yeah, we were like, oh, these girls are drunk and we're getting them home.
Yeah.
And then he's like, all right.
Yeah, just turn your lights on and just he's like,
I got it. He's taking like, them home.
He's like, wink.
Wink, wink. Got
back
it.
Back in 2013, 14?
When that maybe before that. No, maybe 12.
Really?
Could have been. I remember. I miss summer 12, bro. Good times.
Aw. Do you miss, like, do you look back on those, like, early, like, 2012, 2013 with, like, fond memories?
Yeah, dude. I feel like I've had a pretty sick life. It hasn't been perfect. But I definitely look back at those days and, like, all the good times I had with all my friends, you know?
I remember I told you, like, oh, yeah, life was easier. And then you're like, nah, life was never easy. It was just, like, different.
It's never been easy for me, personally. I've always had to work hard as fuck for what I have. I've always had to do my own thing because I don't like listening to other people. So that makes it a lot harder, like, being independent. And
Is being independent important for you?
Yeah, it is, because I'm so used to it throughout my whole life, you know, like having to provide for yourself makes you not necessarily want to or need to go outside of yourself. I mean, I'm not like completely independent, you know. I have friends who come through for me hard, you know, and people who contribute to my life, of course, but like for the most part, like, I'm pretty independent when it comes to like the way I live and the way I do things, you know.
If you died today, would you feel happy with all that you've been able to contribute?
I think people always feel like they can contribute more, like, you know, if like I died and I was still conscious of like everything that was, like, if you asked me this and I was dead,
right,
I'd be like, no, of course not. I would feel as if I could always do more. I'm only 20, you know, I'm in my early 20s,
right?
So basically I, you know, I feel like I could definitely always contribute more.
No, yeah, that's what I was gonna ask. Like, so, like, what, like, I can tell that you're someone who cares a lot about, like, you know, giving back. So, what would you? I mean, I guess you can't really predict, but what do you like hope that you can like? What do you want your biggest contribution to be like before, you know, like, you know, at least so that way, like, what if should you die, you feel like, okay, well, I got to do this, so yeah. I feel,
what would make
proud
you feel like my life was worth it, or like I accomplished something, or whatever?
I think everyone's life is worth it, just in different ways, and everyone's accomplishments, you know, they're all great in their own way. But for me, it would definitely be like, I would want to contribute like great art, great like philosophy, ways of thinking, just anything to improve the world necessarily, you know, being a conscious person, being a, you know, a good person.
Let's make the world a better place.
Let's make ourselves a better place for the world to be a better place. Because you can't make the world a better place.
To quote Tommy Wiseau, he was like, if everybody love each other, the world will be a better place. Do you agree with that statement, Carlos?
Do you agree with Tommy Wiseau?
Who?
He's a director for The Room. He, like, his the famous quote, is it from the movie or is it just like him in his life?
No, that's actually something he says all the time in real life.
He says, if everybody loved each other, the world would be a better place.
Never heard of this guy, but yeah, he makes sense.
Dude, you've never seen The Room?
No, it's not on VHS, is it?
Oh, wait.
Yeah,
well, maybe.
It's only on DVD.
All right, someone get like a limited edition The Room VHS.
Just dub it.
Let's do it. I'm going to fucking record that shit.
You don't even have a VHS player.
What's your favorite VHS movie that you own currently?
Lucifer's Rising. Omar bought it at a... He bought it at a like VHS swap we went to recently. And it's just like a really crazy...
I've never fucking heard crazy of this movie.
Yeah, like neither did I.
Straight to video movie.
Lucifer's Rising.
Is that what it is? Like a low budget straight to video thing?
It's not low budget.
Oh, it's
at
a
all.
Big Hollywood movie?
No, it's not a big Hollywood movie. I could imagine the trailer. All, like, but I just think Rising. I wouldn't call something low budget just because it's not expensive.
Why?
What? That's the definition.
That's the definition of low budget.
Low budget means the budget was low.
No, it's like okay in music, the same note can be considered a flat, or it can be considered a...
I think you're talking more about quality. Are you speaking more to the quality of the piece, or like you wouldn't call it like, because you think low budget has like a negative connotation of like cheap? Is that what you're going in a sense, Chris's movie's
low budget.
Yeah, it's mine's low. I call it low budget, even though I think.
But you can tell it's low budget. Like you.
Wow. You can't tell someone the one exception. The one exception to the rule.
Yo, this shit, bro. I made this and blah blah blah. Like nah, bro. Anyone who's worked in Hollywood, anyone who's worked in this, they're gonna be like.
You can tell. You don't have to tell me that shit was made for $500.
Exactly.
I can tell, like, bro.
You say $700 and it shows.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I was thinking more like $50, $60. That's fucking funny.
He's never even seen it.
I've seen the preview. The preview says it all.
Tell me what Lucifer Rising is.
It's just like a very, very interesting, visually appealing movie that has to do with people like doing drugs and like worshiping Satan, I guess.
Oh, so you can relate to that movie?
Sure.
You're like, hey, I do drugs.
I mean, they're like smoking like dope, like heroin or something. I don't know. I don't do that. I just drink it. Lean is pretty much liquid heroin.
Really?
Well, the main ingredient in lean is pretty, yeah. It's basically the same thing.
I had a question when I was coming over here. Why? So if anyone that's listening checks out this Madres, like merchandise, it's all like logos of existing logos just made with Desmadre on it.
No, that was just this run, like that was just this season. Well, that ripoffs is a big thing in skate culture. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, so
that was gonna be my question, like why'd you do that?
Because it's fun, because it's fucking funny. Like ripoffs are the best, dude. Ripoffs is that's where it's at.
What's the statement you're trying to make? It's fun.
That's such a fucking cheesy question.
Yeah, dude. Well, too bad I'm asking it. Because it's like, I legit want to, like, I never would have thought to, like, oh, you know what? I'm going to take the Disney logo and put Desmadre on it. And I'm wearing a Desmadre shirt right now. It's a Nintendo logo and it says Desmadre. And people in fucking Northridge are like, that's fucking dope. Desmadre.
Yeah, I wore my Dickies orange Desmadre shirt to a party and everyone was like, look at this food, Desmadre. They like, loved it. It was a riot.
So, and so I was like,
hey. I didn't really realize like what kind of an impact like that would have. Yeah, that like word, seeing that, a shirt, that word.
That word is really, it means a lot to a lot of people.
Well, so for break it down for the coconuts in the audience like myself. What's this Desmadre? What does that mean?
Well, I'll just quote it straight from where I got it from. I got it from the movie Blood In, Blood Out. Mm. And in the movie, the way he explains it, he explains like, a toda madre un desmadre. It's pretty much like, a toda madre is like your mother's love. Everything's perfect. And un desmadre is like complete chaos, like total destruction. Like it's like you have no mother. So that's the whole dynamic between it. It's like win it all, lose everything.
Hell yeah. Blood In, Blood Out, fool. Me and Chris make fun of that movie all the time. Yeah. It's such a... It's so exaggerated.
Yeah.
This is my familia. You're going to turn your back on your familia.
Like, that's like that. Like, when people see it, they're like, all right, this is like what Latinos want, even in millennial culture.
Even right now, even today.
I'm not going to make fun of that culture because that's some real shit, bro. Like, if you've never walked down the block and you had to watch out for other fucking kids from the next neighborhood or some shit, like, then I don't believe we have any reason to speak on that, because me and Angel never had to go through that. That's people true. Who really like gang life is something you're born into.
I had glimpses of it in the locker rooms for gym. Mm.
We knew like kids that were in it, bro, and like those kids, bro, people in that life, bro, it's not easy to fuck, you know, like they go through real shit. So,
and I was never really friends with anyone in like a real gang. I just knew them in passing.
But that is, it's still such a specific group of kids. My point was that like people assume that that's like all of us, you know?
Yeah, because
it's not. That's the whole point of the show. That's the point.
That's what white America says about us. I don't think that's what people assume about us.
Well, I mean, to this day, like if I see like a rich white lady and I tell her I'm from Southeast LA, her face just like lights up in horror, just like, oh my god, you must have just been in like a bomb shelter or whatever.
Today, compared to what they're living, yeah, it is.
Today I had to ask for somebody's debit card because I had to find a meter parking in Beverly Hills. And I'm in Beverly Hills, like I'm standing next to my Lexus. I have a $10 bill, man. I said, hey, I just need, because I don't have a card.
I'm in Beverly Hills, standing next to my 2018 Lexus.
I bring this up because even despite all that, just because I'm a brown guy, especially with like this mustache that I'm rocking and like I'm wearing this, I'm saying. With this peach bus that I'm rocking, like people, like it's weird how like white people still like we're like, no, like I said I just need to borrow your debit. I said, here's $10. I just can I borrow your debit card so you can swipe it on my and then people were just like, no, and like it was people that like had their wallets on them, but they would like flat out deny me, and I didn't get mad about it, but I just said, wow, like that's so weird. It's such a weird thing that like what that I would scare them.
What I would think, it'd be like, this kid did something to this meter and he's gonna take my information.
Yeah, no, I think people were just like, dude, this guy's trying to scam me, fuck this.
Yeah,
but I think
it had nothing to do with your color of your skin.
Come on, what,
you're not even that brown, bro.
I think if a fucking white guy was like, here's my debit card, here's $10, they'll be like, hey, he's white, what's he gonna do?
I'm not that brown, but I have a Mexican face. Or I have like a...
You're pretty light skin.
I know. I'm not saying I'm not light skin.
But you're right.
It's my face. I'm not saying the skin tone.
He's got the Latino face.
I do have the Latino face.
I can't tell where you're from. You just look like American.
Hey, that's a compliment.
Is this an interview of the Smother or the roast of Chris Carmona?
The roast of Chris Carmona. Hey, it could be both.
No, it can't. Let's stick to the interview.
Something we've asked like other guests, like, Carlos, have you ever faced like discrimination because of like who you are, how you look like and stuff?
Pretty sure, yeah. But well, yeah, systematically. Systematically, I'm already making less money than a white man does. So
true that.
Well, I mean, I don't even go by those rules, you know, but yeah. You know, systematically I'm oppressed for sure. And I think it's funny when you press white people. I had a white girl tell me at Echo Park Rising while I was watching Katsu set, oh, I'm not privileged. I know what it's like. I'm just like, no, you fucking don't. She's like, I have a record. I've been in trouble with the law. I'm like, did you survive? Yeah. I'm like, there you fucking go.
Yeah.
That already makes the huge difference. The fact that you survived your encounter with fucking law enforcement.
Damn.
Oh, wait, can I go back to what you guys were asking me about the point I'm trying to make? I didn't answer that question.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so, like, the point of, like, my brand is just, honestly, I first just started it just to start it. It wasn't something that I, like, planned on doing at all in my life. Like, if I knew I was going to be screen printing, like, as much as I do now, I would have taken fucking print shop in high school.
More seriously. Wait, you never took it?
No, I never took it. I took 2 years of film instead. Which, I mean, I wouldn't say it's paying off because I really drifted off that whole, like, I don't care about the film industry or film in that aspect. Like, in high school, no one ever told us, like, hey, you can do visual films. You can do films that just are art and don't have to sell themselves out to a corporation.
You're right.
They never told us that. Because, obviously, they're trying to steer us towards getting jobs and becoming sellouts.
Like me and Chris.
Yeah. Hey, guys, yeah. Products of the machine.
Yeah.
Milk it.
But I completely agree, like, they don't really tell you that film, other than like narrative film, is even an option.
That there's things beyond narrative. That's true. They don't really advertise that.
Yeah, like experimental film, anything like that. Even it doesn't even have to be a movie. Like just make it like visuals, like you talk about. I love when you say visuals because I'm like, what does that mean? Literally anything that's visual. Like it doesn't have to fit into like a category.
Just got into it, dude, out of nowhere. It's weird. I'd like really just. I didn't know I was going to be doing visuals. I didn't know I was going to be screen printing. I just ended up doing anything I'm doing. I'm really blessed to be in the position I'm in and to work with all the people I've worked with alone in this year, dude. I've worked with a lot of cool people, a lot of up-and-coming people in this year, and I'm really happy and blessed, you know, to just work with them. They're a lot of great people, you know. Shout out Lovecast. Shout out Young Gatita. Shout out Cats Also.
Dude, all the homies.
Black Beacon Sound.
Oh, you did shit for them too?
No, they're just the homies. But I would, I would if they asked me to. Yeah, for sure.
They are super dope. Oh, you got to hear them for the first time at the bar.
I saw them at their last show too that just passed. They played a great set.
Yeah, they're fucking awesome.
Sad I didn't film it.
Fuck, I was gonna say. Oh yeah, I talked to Lovecast, the homie Abner, at a concert, and because I know you two were working together, and I asked him, I was like, "How's your shit with this Madrid going?" And he looks at me like all excited. He's like, "Dude, I can't tell you, but that shit looks dope."
Abner, dude, he's the best.
He's fucking like, if you don't, Chris is sitting here like, "Who's Abner?" He's a musician.
No, yeah, Lovecast. I'm following.
Lovecast is fucking dope. He's such a good energy.
Yeah, he's love. He's love. If you look up love in the Webster's dictionary, his picture comes out right there next to it. Right there. He's honestly the best person to ever be around. He's always trying, like, you know, hype me up and like make me feel better about myself. You know, we need more people like him in our world. I told him too, like, dude, like, I truly believe that everybody in this world, or like the human race, is a piece of shit, you know, like everyone sucks until I met him, you know, like, aww. He really changed that whole for me, that whole perspective, because like, you know, I've never met someone so positive and so loving towards everybody.
I think it's impossible not to like Lovecast. He's just too good of a person.
Sounds like a challenge.
Yeah, yeah. No, like, I want to see if Chris.
Nah, I won't. I probably won't.
He's like such a. Yeah,
go listen to Vivo and Sueño.
Mm-hmm. That is EP.
No, that's just a single. Hero. I think he's coming out with an EP. I'm not sure if it's. He is, but I don't know if it's called Vivo and Sueño. Gotcha. I think it might be.
Hmm. Did you answer why like the statement you wanted to make, on why you chose this Madre? I think you did. I don't remember.
No, I didn't. Oh. Well, why I chose it? Because I chose
like, what's
that word? Yeah, because like, it resonated most with me. Like when I heard the quote and the way that it was defined in that movie, it was it was something that clicked, and yeah, and it just worked out. It really just worked out for me.
What do you hope people? What do you want people's first reaction to be when they see a shirt that says "This Madre"?
I don't expect a certain reaction. Or of course, like, oh, that's dope. But besides that, like, I don't know. I mean, I like, my brand is very just, how do you say? I try to like be political, but not at the same time. Cause it's like, it's annoying to be political, even though it's important. Like, people don't give a fuck. But I do. I care a lot about not politics, but how politics affect like, us in general, like indigenous people, like, you know, like they're just trying to live in this world, and like governments are just trying to fucking kick them out of their land, and like I made a shirt this season, like dedicated to the Zapatistas, because I was supposed to release my whole collection like January 1st, but I sick lagged it and did it in summer. But when I like made that shirt, I did it like close to the beginning of the year, and that's when that was the anniversary of their like uprising in like 1994.
Just save it for next January.
I already did it.
You released it already? Where's my dude?
You didn't copy. There was a sale.
I asked Carlos for a fucking jacket all the time.
He's like, you're that guy.
He's like, nah. If I made a new one, it would lessen the value of the ones that are already in circulation.
I make one of one jackets, dude. Yeah. I'm not gonna make a bunch of jackets.
And I respect that.
That's
hard. But I'm still salty.
Buy one next time I make a jacket.
We'll do it. Well, just let me. I told you I'm gonna line up. You're gonna know. Like a fucking Supreme
online release, bro. Online release.
I'm gonna cop that shit at your fucking front door.
I swear to God, I'll get my water gun and shoot you.
So you seem to be very much a person that cares, like not so much about what people think, but just more like what you feel fulfilled in. So, do you care if like, if this Madre gets bigger or not, or do you kind of want to just stay where it's at?
I think I did for a long time, because I was growing very fast at like such a young age. Like the first year of my brand, I had people already asking me to collab and like work with me, and I was just like, dude, I'm just a baby right now. Like, I'm not collabing with anyone, dude. I barely like know how to do anything. So I think at first I did because there was a lot of potential for it to be that way.
Yeah.
But as my brand grew, you know, I met a lot of people and I built a lot of relationships with people that I didn't like necessarily. They weren't out of like anything of interest, but just for like me to grow as a brand. And I don't want to build fake relationships with people, especially like now. Like, I've learned this year, you know, that like those relationships are like not the kind that I want to be in. And that's also why I don't like any like film or music industry, because you end up having to talk to people you would never ever talk to in your life. People that don't even give a shit about you. They just care to talk to you because it all has to do with money. And I don't give a fuck about money like that. Like, I make enough money to like survive. Like, I don't care about being rich, you know. Like,
right.
Being rich is like, it's cool, but everyone who's rich is a piece of shit. They can't deny, even if they're a good characteristic, like they're a good person, good kind person. All money has to do with like bloodshed, and
money is the root of all evil.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, but like, you know, like, I think in the case that you brought up, like the film industry, I think it's different for that, because I mean, like, we talk to different people, so that way, like for me and Angel, we're all about trying to fucking bring a bigger attention to our community. So yeah, like, these are people we wouldn't necessarily talk to just on the street, but yeah, we do it for a greater good, you know. And it's, I think everybody's got different morals in this case. I think with yours, it's so totally fucking respectable.
Hold on, I have a question for you though.
Sure.
Would you still do it if you didn't get any credit for anything that you would do?
You mean credit, like my name wouldn't be on it?
Of course. Like, people don't know what you're... People have no idea who you are. People have no idea who you are.
I'm not sure I understand, though. Like, if it was... Like, if I just made a movie and then it ended and, like, nobody knew that I made
it.
No.
Like, your name... How people have no idea that I do my brand. They just know that my brand exists.
Yeah.
They have no idea that I'm doing
it. If you made a movie and no one would be like, damn, that was a Chris Carmona movie. It was just a good movie, but
they just know the title of it.
No one would know.
Yeah, no, I would have said that, yeah, before, but like we talked about before, I think I've shifted from less from my work to who I am, and not for selfish reasons, but because I want people to see that, like, yo, like, I was bored of nothing special, and, you know, if I could do it, you know, if I could do something on a pretty grand scale, I feel like other kids can aspire to achieve that. So in that way, I would say, not that I wouldn't, but like, to me, like, it, to me, a big part of like the work is for people to know that like I made it, because specifically because like, oh, this guy made this, you know, like, it wasn't just some like kid that
some
went
fucking
to,
white guy in a,
well, I didn't
want to
say that,
too,
but
bad,
yeah,
I'm
basically,
saying,
yeah, you say it.
You
but
could definitely
that.
Just like, when it comes to my stuff, you already know some white guy didn't make it because of the title.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. So. But I think, you know, it's more to the point. The Smothered. I mean, I mean, some potentially culture appropriating white kid might, but, you know,
dude,
the most likely chance is
I'm
that
waiting
it's not
for fucking
that.
Forever 21 and American Apparel to start selling like fucking Desmadre shirts and nuggets.
They would never, ever. That's not white America enough.
Well, remember, well, that's true. They fucking took Paul's Cherry Love and they made a shirt.
Paul's a very remarkable person, you know. Of course it's gonna, you know, just gonna pop. Like, Forever 21 would take that, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
It makes sense.
The Paul from Katsu also?
Yeah,
he wrote a song.
There's no like official shit, but it's like, come on,
who? He wrote a song called Cherry Love, and basically Forever 21 just put that on a shirt.
No way.
Yeah.
Which is like, I mean, he should have
like
copyrighted
yeah, like,
that.
Like, I've never heard the term Cherry Love before, so I was like, yeah, I heard it first with fucking Katsu also, and
yeah,
then I saw American Apparel or Forever 21, whichever one of them had it.
Yeah, it was
whoa,
it was, no, Forever 21, it was Forever 21.
And now, and they, but they still bump his music though.
No, it's H&M.
Oh, H&M.
It's H&M.
But yeah,
good for him, man. Shouts out Katsu also.
Hell yeah. Maybe future podcast guest. Who knows?
Definitely a future podcast.
We're working on it.
But yeah, no, I think it's interesting. Like, I think the morals are different, you know, between. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I do agree that, Carlos, me and Chris do talk to people we necessarily wouldn't in order to get ahead sometimes.
Yeah.
Or would you agree with that,
yeah,
Chris?
I mean, of course. That's why I talk to like a lot of like the people that I've worked for, like in the internships we've ever had and we've had before, and like. And also, too, like, the thing is like, yeah, there are people we wouldn't talk to, but, like, I never like to look at it as, like, if it wasn't for this, I wouldn't talk to you. Like, once you get to know them, you're like, these people are actually really cool. Like, if you find yourself encountering some cool people. Because, I mean, like, yeah, you know, there is the cynical way to look at it, that like people, everybody sucks and like everybody's out for money and stuff. But like, you know, people are.
It sometimes feels like that. Let me think, because I remember. Oh, okay. So I think we're kind of finishing up. Do you have anything to say? Because I have my like.
Final thing. No. Go ahead. Wrap it all up.
So Carlos, how would you say you changed from, let's say, from like, what's the biggest thing that's changed about you from middle school up until now? And then I'm going to ask another question, but I'm going to wait until you answer that one.
Learning how to respect myself and women.
Damn, that's true. Now, what do you want to improve on from now and the future? Like, what do you find yourself constantly working on to try to, like, be a better person and try to improve?
Well, same subject, pretty much. I just want to honestly just do my best to be a respectful and loving person. You know, it's been a struggle for me growing up to, well, one, I didn't have a lot of guidance as a person when it came to like respecting myself and women, you know, like I just grew up with my mom, mm-hmm. but she was just always busy working. So she didn't like necessarily ever take the time to like explain these things for me, which are, I mean, common sense in a sense, but common sense isn't so common. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you don't have certain things instilled in you, like, you know, when you're at a young age, you grow up just being a piece of shit. And I, you know, to this day, I still believe, you know, I have so much to improve on. So I definitely, like, want to do my best to respect people for who they are and what they want to be, you know, recognized as, and just everything, you know, like when it comes down to it, like, everyone's different and everyone has different needs, and you got to learn how to work with people and cater to them. You know, I don't know. It's not hard to like be a good person. Sometimes we just, I guess that's an easy subject to forget when like you're busy trying to have fun or something.
Yeah. I think it's very important to recognize that we used to be shitty.
Yeah.
And now we're like trying to be better.
I mean, I still am shitty. I'm not, you know, like.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I'm not perfect. I still make a lot of mistakes. I still, like, you know, do certain things that, you know, aren't, how do you say, you know, good, quote unquote. Like, you know, at the end of the day, people slip up all the time. So I think for anyone to consider themselves a good person, you know, is just kind of like giving yourself credit that you don't necessarily deserve. Like, you know, like, you got to look at yourself for who you like really are, because all the good things we do in life, we don't necessarily do them out of like, how do you say, us being like that's who
because
we are,
because it's the right thing to do.
We get pressured a lot to do the right thing, you know.
So that's a good point to make.
Yeah, we get pressured a lot to do the right thing or to be the person that we should be, and that's not the true you is all the fucked up shit you've ever done in life.
Yeah, that's Chris wants to be hella un-PC all the time.
No, but I just don't like being being critiqued for like every little thing that I say, like problematic or not.
I feel there's things that people can improve on that
that
would make others' lives easier.
I believe if someone's uncomfortable because you said something, you should definitely apologize and say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't know you didn't like that type of comedy.
Yeah, Chris.
But you never get offended. You're speaking on behalf of silenced people, which I realize saying it out loud is not a bad thing. But
what are you
still
talking about?
Huh?
What are you talking about, silenced people?
No, but like sometimes I'll say things that like isn't PCs, like, I think you mean women, not them. Like, oh, okay,
right.
Yeah, fine.
And that isn't respectful towards them. It's a joke. I get it, you know.
But I'll just say like girls and he'll like women. And I'm like, right.
But it's not like women. I'm telling you like, you fucking idiot, you fucked up. It's just like, the more I tell you, the more you'll remember and then you'll just fix it yourself.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I really was just kidding. No, I mean, you do get on me about it, but I'm not like upset. It was just,
yeah, I'm the most un-PC person there is probably in this room, dude. I've said a lot of fucked up stupid shit in my life.
Yeah,
but I've learned, you know, not everybody's gonna find it funny, and if someone takes offense to it, you know, just say you're sorry and be like, hey, I didn't mean to be
right.
Like,
so then do you like, are you trying to change the way you are, or do you just accept that that's who you are?
I'm trying to be more conscious of the decisions I make, so in a sense, yeah, I'm trying to change, but not like necessarily completely. Like, I'm just trying to be more conscious of who I'm around and how they would want to be treated and what they like, you know, what they like and like what bothers them. Because at the end of the day, like, a lot of people don't tell you how they really feel because they're scared for whatever reason, or they just like to bottle things up inside. So yeah, you gotta ask too. You gotta communicate. Like, you know, there's a lot of like, there's people, you know, who want to be called certain pronouns and things like that, you know. And I have a friend that likes to go by they and them, and like, I do my best to respect that. And I feel bad every time I refer to her as she, or, you know, like, it's not a conscious thing. That's a social construct that we've been trained to be.
It's super hard. I'm going through the exact same thing with one of my supervisors at Northridge. They like to go by they and them.
Personally, I believe it's very extra, but it's also something that I respect. I respect it. You know, it's what they want, you know. And if that's what they want, then okay. You know?
And that's what they want. Take note, Chris.
I don't
want
to be a dick either.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, that is. That'll be the next time. All right, Carlos, we're wrapping it up now. So where can the audience that's listening find your merchandise?
Desmadre.org.
Desmadre.org. Also on Instagram, __desmadre.
It's desmadre___.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Fuck, yikes. I fucked up. I've been calling you the wrong thing from the beginning. Why didn't anyone correct me?
Something you should have fucking known. Come on.
Damn, I should have researched our guest a little more.
You should have.
You would think, since I've known him since middle school, I wouldn't fucking know this.
I think you were just confident with that and you ran with it.
Yeah, I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna say it. So when can we expect the next Desmadre drop?
In like 2 weeks. I gotta print the Alton stuff and then Dreamlover stuff. Shouts out Alton's and Dreamlover.
Oh shit. Someone's busy.
Yeah, I honestly I print all the time, and like, I print not just for myself but others, like bands, you know, a lot of friends, you know. It's really cool, honestly. I really am happy to, like I said, work with everyone. You know, it's a blessing. It's, you know, looks good on my portfolio.
It's fucking true. Well, let's hope to have a Us Podcast Cross Desmadre merch drop sometime in the future.
Mm.
That should be dope. Carlos is like,
he's just like, all right.
I'm like, what? No, I'm like, wait, what? You're like, who?
Who? The Us Who?
What is that?
The Who Podcast? All right.
With the big ass elote on the front.
Fuck yeah. All right, Chris, any last words?
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for spending your afternoon, your night with us.
Yeah, Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
It's cause it's Friday night. The line is ladies' night.
Thank you for the shirt. I'm very proud of it. Right.
Yeah. And on the night.
Oh yeah, the shirt. I remember when you bought it off me. I didn't really recognize you at first. I was like, "This is Chris, right?" Yeah, this is Chris. Like, yeah. I said that in my head. Cause he didn't say his name. He just went up to me. He was like, "Hey, what's up, dude?" Yeah, hey. And I was like, he seems familiar. I'm not gonna lie, I was really drunk that night.
That's okay.
I drank.
Hey, but now we all have Desmadre merch.
Yeah.
All right. Fuck yeah. All right, everybody. That wasn't an episode of the Us Podcast. You know what it is.
What?
So now we bid you all a good night, a farewell, a good tomorrow.
Adieu.
And we'll catch y'all next time.
Bye bye.
Play that outro. Hey everyone, that was another episode of the Us Podcast. Make sure you catch us on our social medias. I am at Los Angel I Salinas on Instagram.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at the Chris Carmona.
Make sure you follow us on social media
at Us Podcast on Instagram. We're gonna be posting more show related stuff on there.
Make sure you follow the podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Write us a review. Say some nice things. Say some maybe not so nice things. Go ahead and tell us,
please.
All right. Bye. That sounded pretty good.